Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles podcast with Dave and Chris. And this is a very exciting episode because it's time for a new Paul McCartney album, Egypt Station, which just dropped on September the 7th.
Yeah, big, great new Paul McCartney album dropped with very much fervor,
yes.
Marketing wise, especially. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about
the
marketing and the campaign for it. But yep, it's out. The reviews are out. Our review is going to be out after this.
Yes, exactly.
After this podcast.
So the songs on the album have been dribbling out one by one, and we had I Don't Know, Come On to Me, and everyone's favorite Fu You come out just a little bit before the album did. And these were, I guess, singles, or they were called singles. And I want to talk to you later, after we've discussed the whole album, what you think about Paul's decision to call these singles, and in light of our analysis, if you think those were really the best songs to drop. Because I remember when we discussed those first two tunes, we were a little conflicted about what we heard. I think we both liked I Don't Know, which is what we just heard a little of, and we were less up on Come On to Me. So did you think that gave us a good preview of what the whole album's going to be like, or what it turned out to be?
I actually think they ran a pretty good campaign to get people a little bit excited. Here's a couple songs, and then there were a couple weeks later, here's another song that's maybe a little polarizing.
Yeah.
Also, before the album came out, these videos, these word between the songs videos came out a few days early, so people could check those out and hear him talking about the songs without really giving away too much in the thing. So, we've been getting a lot of, if you're on Instagram, you get a lot of Paul shooting a little live video. Paul answering questions.
Yeah.
So and he was on James, you know, they had that big James Corden special. They had him on Jimmy Fallon the night before, announcing the Grand Central Station show as a surprise show. And then pops up this big surprise show, which apparently Meryl Streep heard about, I guess, and just showed up. I don't know. We'll talk maybe a little bit more about that, but yeah, I thought it was actually a pretty good marketing campaign. And the artwork, of course, we'll talk about the artwork and towards the end of the show, I think. But so I kind of was okay with all of it. I don't know that necessarily. I think nobody knows what to call things anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's sort of like, it's out. Is it a single? Is it part of the album? Is it, you know, who knows? It's just out.
And people don't really buy singles like they used to. So it's just kind of, I guess, maybe thinks they're the hits or the most commercial sounding, maybe. It's a very different model for putting out albums and for buying albums. So, and that, of course, is part of Paul's plans usually. And so this album, I'm holding the 18-track version, which you can buy at Target only in the U.S., and it has, as I say, 18 tracks. The rest of the normal albums have 16, and then you can also get it on different vinyl configurations. Isn't there a colored vinyl for you somewhere?
There's a colored vinyl, so I don't know if that's necessarily something I'm going to rush out and purchase.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a colored vinyl. There's regular vinyl. They had been advertising some sort of deluxe package, but it never materialized.
No, not sure what's up with
that. Which is kind of odd that they put that on the website and then it never came together. No. That's kind of very strange.
No.
What do you think of the artwork? You've got the artwork right in your hands. What do you think about it?
I think it's really great, actually. It's very iconic. If you have the CD, you pull out, it's a gatefold cover, so you pull out on one side, it's got all the lyrics, and then on the other side it has Paul's painting or artwork, Egypt Station, and it's really nice the way they did it. And they've taken little icons, and I remember you telling me when Paul was dropping hints about the album, you'd see just little segments or little fragments of this artwork, and you can see the pyramid inside a circle with the concentric circles going, which made its way onto Abe Laboriel's drum set, bass drum, at the Grand Central gig. But it's very eye-catching in its kind of, I don't know what you'd call this, sort of surreal, or maybe like Dali or something like that a little bit.
Yeah. I don't know if these are on the album or not, because I don't have the physical album, but definitely during the words between the songs, I like that each song has its own little, what I assume to be a travel sticker.
Mm-hmm.
So like for I Don't Know, it's like it looks like the globe, and it says I Don't Know. And then there's another track would have another image associated with it. So I thought that was really cool. Like,
To
sort of like think about the song and what travel sticker might go with it. I think that's pretty neat.
Yeah, I think it was very well coordinated, putting it all together here. And to me, although on the album, the credits here, you see that there are his touring band plays on it, as well as the Muscle Shoals horns. There's a chorus. There's the Sao Paulo choir. And the producers, Greg Kirsten and Ryan Tedder, also play. But to me, this really is, it seems like such a total McCartney production. I just feel like even though he gives it to someone else to produce, it's still got his fingerprints everywhere on the, from the artwork to the lyrics to the music to the production to everything. It reminds me a lot of Chaos and Creation in the backyard, and I think we'll probably talk about that later. But the previous album was new, and that one with the four different producers, I felt like it was a little less coherent, and maybe that was intentional. But this one seems to me to be really kind of coherent in its sound and production.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what you thought about the theme.
Yeah.
And the whole concept behind it being sort of a really vague, well, it's sort of like a traveling station, but it's also sort of like a vague radio station.
Uh-huh.
And we hear sort of like some stations, the first track, opening station, and then the next to last track, station two. We're not going to play either of them because they're basically just sort of like a little bit of sound.
Kind of inaudible.
Yeah, and very softly.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Do you think that no matter what we say track to track here, do you think that it pulls together?
Not really. I would say I'm going to quote John Lennon when he was asked about the Sgt. Pepper concept, and he said, oh, it was something that we just said it was a concept, and so everybody believed it, but it could have been songs from any other album. So I don't really think so. I think Paul's saying it. But isn't every album a journey? I mean, every musical work has some kind of a progression or procession to it. So
yeah,
it doesn't, this just, I don't think the songs relate to anything particularly like that, for the most part. So it's just something he says, and he's into the concept. So
It doesn't bother me too much. It sort of reminds me a little bit of Venus and Mars in that sense of like, oh, we had some, when we talked about that episode, we said, well, there's some themes and they're sort of vaguely travel-y themes and stuff like that. And I think that's the way this is. It's a sort of a little bit vaguely some travel and some what's going on in the world today, you know, so we'll, you know, very pointedly talk about it in a couple tracks.
Definitely. Well, good. Well, let's get into it then. So, as we said, the first track is sort of a, like just some sound effects, and some synthesizer chords called Opening Station. And that leads into I Don't Know, which we already talked about. And what did you think about it in context? Because I remember when we talked about I Don't Know and Come On To Me, which are back-to-back, we were kind of wondering what the context would be like. And now when you hear it in context, does it work any differently?
I think it even works better for me.
Yeah, I agree.
As far as it opening the album in this such a soft way. I mean, your typical album would actually open with the last track on the album.
Yeah.
Sort
yeah.
of like a rock, like a big thing that comes into a rocking thing.
Big riff.
And this this opening in such a way, in such an emotional way. Mm-hmm. You know what I wanted to do here, Dave, is we're not going to play the track because we played it just a few episodes ago.
Yeah.
And at the beginning of this episode. but I did want to play a clip. I'm not going to play any other of these, but I suggest that you go on YouTube to the Paul McCartney channel. And back on September 3rd, he posted all these words between the tracks that I mentioned before. And this is Paul on I Don't Know.
I don't know. I wrote this after going through a difficult period. Like people have, nothing sort of madly serious or anything, but just one of those days when it's like, oh my God, what am I doing wrong here, you know? And sometimes that's a good way to write a song because you're coming from your soul. And we often used to say that writing a song was like talking to a psychiatrist, a therapist or something.
So a little bit from his words between the tracks. I like those words between the tracks. I thought that they helped contextualize a couple of the songs that we'll hear. And what he was saying there was kind of what we were talking about back when we analyzed it a few episodes back.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're interesting, too. And that was a song I know I definitely liked a lot. Upon further reflection, I don't like that it's on a synthesized piano, or at least it was, like when I listen under headphones, it really sounds synthesized and with a lot of flange or something on it. I don't know, I wish it was a real piano. To me, it would sound better. But I still think the tune is great, and it's a very effective song, and an interesting opener, because like you say, it's not a big rocker that grabs your attention. It's some kind of sneaks in. You gotta really wait for it. But it's good.
I also, just a couple last notes on, I don't know. I like the drums on it a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's going to be a common theme throughout the album.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I love the, whoa, part.
Of course. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah.
So good opener, and then that's followed up by the aforementioned Come On To Me, and this is, he really seems to love this song, because he's playing it at every gig, and it's the big tune that they're playing, and I think I've had an opposite reaction. The more I hear it, the less I like it, I think.
I'm with you on this, Dave. Like, the more I hear it, I'm like, oh my God, and not just to mention, at the Grand Central Station thing, he did this dumb thing where you ask the audience to sing a brand new song that they don't know. Hey, if you want to sing along, great. It's like, hey, most of us don't know this song.
It came out today.
You got to teach it to us.
Yeah.
If he'd have done like, you know, okay, when we get to this part, we're going to need you to go doo-doo, doo-doo-doo. Then it would work, it'd be fine, but I was like, man, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's not a skipper for me, but it's sort of like, ugh, I don't know.
Yeah, and we should make the disclaimer here that we know some of our listeners are going to love every single song on this album and say it's the greatest thing ever written. We know some people will be curmudgeons and think it's the worst thing that Paul's ever done. And just take our comments as you know us to be here, and offering our honest opinions, and trying to point out some good and maybe some things we didn't like as much. So we're not saying that Come On To Me is a terrible song. It's just, I think, you know, maybe it's
sort of the whatever the opposite of grown on me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's sort of that. Like, at first I was really excited about it. And then as I listen more, you know, it's just your straightforward rocker with some weird. Now, what is credited? You've got, here's one of the big things. You've got the credits there.
Yes.
And what is the strange? Is it a sitar?
No. Here's what it says. Yeah. So we had a listener, a friend of the show, Catherine, I think, weighed in and said it was like a, I don't know what it was called, a sitar nova or some kind of synthesized sitar. But Paul is listed as playing vocals, bass, acoustic, electric guitar, piano, harpsichord, Wurlitzer, which is an organ, synths, Moog, drums, percussion, harmonica, and bird recording.
Bird recording,
bird
all
recording,
right.
Yeah, which I guess comes at the beginning of one of the tracks that we'll get to. So some kind of synthesized sitar on that track. And that was the best part about it, I think. We liked the middle section of it. But in any case, we've already talked about those, so we're excited to get into the new tunes, and we'll start with the next one, which is Happy With You.
I sat around all day. I used to get stoned. I like to get wasted, but these days I don't, 'cause I'm happy with you. I got lots of good things to do. Oh yeah. I walked around angry. I used to feel bad. Nowadays my day don't have to be sad, 'cause I'm happy with you. I got lots of good things to do. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. So Happy With You. Pretty interesting. This, I fit this into the category of looking back at my life. Kind of
mm-hmm.
looking, reflecting on things, how I'm a different person now because I'm with my wife, who I really like and is really supportive. And then it's got a little bit of, like, it reminds me a bit of The End of the End from Memory Almost Full, because it's got that, he had those sitting, like, I'm sitting there looking at my grandchildren talking about me. And it's with a bunch of images. And here we are again with the, hear the clear robin sing, walk a bluebell carpet, watch the children playing games, catch a moon and drop it.
And yeah.
Yeah, some nice images. So I actually like this one a lot. I kind of, it's very reminiscent of also Mother Nature's Son. And I'm just a sucker for McCartney on acoustic guitar. So this is, to me, a good one. I would rate it highly.
I have two minor problems with the song.
Okay.
One is the lyric, "Hear a newborn baby lamb calling for its mother," is pretty, mm-hmm. pretty twee, to say the least.
He lives on a farm, you know?
but I joke. I actually like the lyrics of this. I think it's a sweet song. Yeah. And I really, really, really love the music on this one.
Yes, very
strong. I think
strong.
The flute works, the cool little lilting acoustic guitar mm-hmm. the whole time. And then that pulsing drum comes in and gives this a sort of a heartbeat to the song that really is, like, very well done. I thought it was excellently done.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then the second issue I have is, hey man, what's wrong with getting stoned?
I was gonna see if you were gonna say notice that.
You can't. I mean, you can be happy in a happy relationship and like to smoke weed too. That's
just saying.
Putting it out there. Just saying.
Yeah, I wonder what a lot of other listeners thought of that line.
So, yeah. But I know I do like it. I think it's a pretty great track.
Yeah, definitely. And so that's followed up by a song called, which he also performed at he performed only a few of the tunes at this Grand Central show, but he did this one with a very, very canned opening presentation with the two girls. It's a song about bullying, and it's called Who Cares?
Thank you.
Well, it's somewhat lame. lyrics. The lyrics are lame because we know that. I mean, it's just, he's like, this is a song about bullying, mm-hmm. everyone. So it's got a little bit of a feel of like, you know, like a high school prevention theater kind of thing going on. It does start pretty cool with that sort of noisy guitar opening. But the music's okay. But to me, this song comes off not. I joke about the. It's a little bit lame, and there's nothing super outstanding about it. Mm-hmm. Just sort of like the word that sticks with me the most on this is filler.
Yeah, yeah.
What about you?
I'm pretty similar on it. I think it sounds a lot like a Wings tune. Like it could be. It reminded me of Junior's Farm or something like that with a rocking feel to it with a descending line. The music's pretty good. I like the lick that they play, the do 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 do. I think that's a catchy lick. I would like the feedback. I like the feedback better at the end. The beginning mm-hmm. feedback is in the wrong key for where the tune goes, and it's very jarring to me listening to it. It's very.
Boy.
I know. Sorry. Getting all technical. It's okay. I put it in kind of a filler or an okay category as well.
Yeah, I don't love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, especially compared to some other tunes.
Yeah, definitely. Like the next one maybe?
Oh wow. This next one I have never been so unsure about what either of us are going to say about this next song.
Mm-hmm.
And it, of course, is the single, I guess.
Yeah.
Called Fuh You.
Come on, baby, now. Let me look at you. Talk about yourself. Try to tell the truth. I could stay up half the night trying to crack your code. I could stay up half the night, but I'd rather hit the road. On the night that I met you, I was on the town. On the night that I met you, I just wanna know how you feel. I want a love that's so
well, so here we are. This is probably one of the most controversial tunes. It elicited a lot of dialogue on our Facebook page, on the YouTube page, all over the place. And what if you had to describe the commentary, it seemed to be between, this is the coolest thing, he's really hip, he's like having fun with this double entendre thing, or this is embarrassing for somebody his age to be singing a song like this. And this sounds like something by Taylor Swift or somebody else, or you know, some kind of pop star.
Well, the reaction to it from people, the word polarizing comes to mind.
Yeah, polarizing is great.
Because some people really, really love it. And I think there's a good reason why they love it. It's because it sounds pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
The song's a catchy tune.
Yeah,
it sounds good. But it's sort of odd to think about. And this, here's what I think. Come On to Me came out. And we were talking about, is this a really horny Paul McCartney? And then the next song that comes out is "I Just Wanna Fuh You."
Well, let me correct the record.
Oh yes, here. yes,
because I have the lyrics. And
do you buy this? Do you buy these lyrics are legit?
Well, the
and his explanation at the concert's legit.
No,
do you buy it?
No, he's according to the lyrics in the book here. It says, "I just want it fuh you."
Yeah.
And so he's just saying, I just want it for you. Now,
but does that make sense as a lyric around the other things that he says leading up to that?
No, not in the slightest.
No, it doesn't.
Not in the slightest. No. So I also heard someone really straining to make the argument that, oh, this is just Liverpudlian language here, that they would just say, for you. And that's really, it is really, it's not supposed to have any other meaning to it. But that really, yeah.
This just struck me.
Yeah.
Is for you the new high, high, high?
Well, I think so. Yeah.
Where high, 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 and he's like, no, we weren't talking about getting stoned. And everybody knows they were talking about getting stoned.
Yeah.
Like, we're not stupid.
No.
So that's why he went on and on about it at the Grand Central Station concert again. And I was like, is he trying to make it a joke, or was this the whole thing?
Hard to know.
And I think he's trying to have it both ways.
Yeah.
Because even on the songs between the words, right at the end, he's like, it's a raunchy song.
Right.
So why would he say it's raunchy if it meant I just want it for you?
Right, exactly. No, I think he wants it both
ways. That's not raunchy. So he wants it both ways. So
yeah. As a song, to me it's a little cringeworthy, and I actually don't really like it very much. The music is catchy, it's very... Do you think it's Paul trying to sound contemporary and hip? Because it does have a very, with the Ryan Tedder production, it does have a different sheen to it than the others.
Two things. One, the song's sure been stuck in my head.
Yeah, it's very catchy. I agree. Yeah.
It's catchy as all can be.
Yeah.
And it's been stuck in my head, and I really kind of am like singing it to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll roll my eyes at myself. So it's sort of like, but I'm rolling my eyes at myself more because of the for you
text stuff, yeah.
But as far as the song goes and this production stuff and having modern production applied to Paul McCartney, we got that a bunch in the last album.
That's
we got
true.
That several songs like that. Maybe it's the least, because it's a different producer, it's the least fits in with this album.
Yeah.
So maybe had for you say been on new, we would have been like, well, that's just part of that whole style of new and all that kind of thing.
That's true.
So
that gives me a
what I might have done if I was him is release for you, but not have it on the album.
Ah, that's a good idea. Yeah, because
and maybe have released it 6 months ago.
Right.
And
instead
not,
of having it
doesn't fit exactly with the album. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It's definitely catchy.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So. The background vocals that are really high pitched, sort of like repeating, like in the middle, does sound very, 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 very different than your usual Paul stuff.
True.
So if anything doesn't fit in, if anything sounds really produced, it's that.
Yeah.
So.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Now the next tune, I would say, is not very provocative, which we'll listen to now, called Confidant.
You used to be my confidant, my underneath the staircase friend. But I fell out of love with you and brought our romance to an end. I played with you throughout the day and told you every secret thought. Unlike my other so-called friends, you stood beside me as I fought.
Dave, have you ever had an underneath the staircase friend? Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird phrase?
Yeah,
it sounds like someone you had a clandestine don't tell anyone to hook up with.
Maybe it is more provocative than I thought here. I was listening to the nice, pretty acoustic guitar music. And, you know, the words between songs. He's talking about the, you know, it's when you need therapy, you got your guitar over there, and I was sitting around the studio and I saw the guitar, and it was like, you know, you're my confidant, I tell you things.
I listened to all the words between the tracks before I heard the album.
Okay.
So I knew that Confidant was going to be about a guitar.
I didn't, so that's interesting.
Oh, yeah. What was your first take on it then? When you like, were you like, what's going on
with
this?
I thought it was a little weird.
So yeah. That's what bothers me the most about it, is it's sort of like on its own, if you don't know it's about his guitar. There was a Queen song on their last album with Freddie Mercury alive called Elijah.
Mm.
And it gets about a minute into it, and then he says, and then you peed all over my Chippendale suite. And then I was like, what? And then 2 seconds later it goes, meow. And then it's a
cat.
Song about his cat. So it's sort of like that, similar a little bit. It's like a song about his guitar. So by its nature, it's going to also be a little bit lame, just like we were talking about. A song that's about anti-bullying is always going to turn out a little lame.
Right.
But to me, I really like the middle section.
Yes,
of this song.
Yes, and the music, yeah.
The music in the middle section is great.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I don't mind it. It's not my favorite on the album. It's pleasant enough. Not necessarily a skipper, you know. I'm sort of right in there.
Yeah, that's okay. Do you think, is it to the level of filler, or...
Well, maybe a little. Maybe just... Eh.
Yeah.
I'm right on the border between... I don't think it's a skipper.
Yeah.
I'm right on the border. I almost like it a lot, but not quite.
Yeah. It has to work a little more on me, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you catch me on the right day, I might skip it. You catch me on the other day, I might just be singing along with it. Mm-hmm. Long lost anthems.
Exactly. Well, I think speaking of long-lost anthems and singing, I think the next song is something that Paul is hoping that people will sing, because the title is People Want Peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, standing before you with something to say. With some trepidation I crave your attention, but I'm not gonna let anything get in my way. The message is simple, it's straight from my heart, and I know that you've heard it before. But what does it matter, we're in it together, and I'm not quitting while people are crying for more.
So is this going to replace Sing the Changes, which replaced Freedom?
I feel like Ringo should be singing this song. This seems like a kind of song that Ringo would sing. Remember that one about Haile Selassie?
Oh, yeah. You know, why not have Ringo come in and as a vocal kind of cameo on this one?
Because he's always talking about peace and love, right?
Yeah.
This is kind of Ringo's tune.
Have him sing the chorus on this, and we would have been like outrageously in love with it. Instead, it sort of like comes off as a, well,
yeah,
it's not a dud, I don't think.
The way I just saw it described in a review was, it's the kind of song that he can write many times in his sleep, a little bit lazy, kind of just to take a generic message here and then write some generic lyrics and put a nice arrangement to it, and you've got a tune.
You know, actually, what this reminded me of was sort of late 80s, early 90s Paul, particularly those albums, Off the Ground, kind of that era.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Especially the music in the bridge kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah.
And now that I'm thinking about it, he had a lot of these sort of semi-vague kind of not really vague, but very broad.
Yes.
I think is the thing.
Yeah.
Like, don't, you know.
Like the political statements.
Political statements. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And this album has a lot of broad political statements. Yes. Like, you know.
Which Ringo's good at, because remember, things are bad. We need
Yeah.
Watch out for all those things happening.
My friend told me things are really bad.
Exactly. So, yeah. So, is it a skipper? Maybe not, but it's definitely not a standout track to me.
I also thought it was like kind of odd how stuffed with lyrics the verse is, and then you get to the chorus and it's just your. Very basic. People want peace. People want peace.
Yeah. A simple release from their suffering.
Yeah.
People want peace. Yeah.
None of these. The other thing I want to say is I give him a tick on the good side.
Mm-hmm.
On all of these sort of vague, broad things. He is talking about peace.
Yeah.
He's talking about you shouldn't bully people.
No, that's good. Yeah.
And
good messages.
And they, you should feel good even though you're bullied. They're good messages.
Yeah.
So yeah. As much as we trash them to some extent for being kind of like, oh, this again, you know.
Yeah.
I'd rather him be singing about that than maybe his 40-year song.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I'll throw this over that. Good point. All right.
Let's hear the next one, huh?
Yeah, next one's called Hand in Hand.
Wanna give you my heart, wanna tell you my story, gonna take it to another level, you and me. Wanna give you my word, let me give you my promise, I will try to make it happen, you can guarantee. Hand in hand, walking through life and making our plans, hand in hand. Let me enter your light, wanna show you my passion.
Okay, so Hand in Hand. This song reminds me a lot of You Tell Me from the album Memory Almost Full. And I really love the melody in this. I think the music is absolutely gorgeous and very memorable, very catchy, and just sincere. It sounds like it to me. I know it's a love song, and it's just very, very interesting. It goes where you don't expect it to, because the chorus is not where you expect it to go. It's got some meter changes, because he says, you can guarantee... Hand in hand, walking through life and making our plans.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little
bit
surprising.
It's in a different time signature.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's where I really started liking this song. Like,
yeah.
At first, I was like, oh, it's going to be your typical syrupy
ballad.
Love song.
Yeah, right.
And then I was like, oh, I kind of like his high, soft, sweet voice.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when it goes into that different sounding chorus, I'm like, oh, this is a really interesting song.
Mm-hmm.
And the violins come in, too, at that point, or sort of near that point.
Yes.
And I like it. The other thing I like is it's short.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing. There are some tunes on here that were surprisingly short in just the right amount of time. This is one. Yeah. Doesn't drag too many verses.
Yeah. Thumbs up on that
Thumbs
one.
Thumbs up. Good one.
Now, the opposite of short
is the next one, which is Dominoes.
As time goes by, we'll laugh and cry. It's in the past. We can start to begin living in the world we're in. From day to day, we'll find and play.
What's your thought on Dominoes?
I'm a little torn on it. It's the first one I don't really love that much. I don't. They lost me. They go to this really basic rock beat.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where the song kind of lost me. I don't know why. I don't know why, but the cymbals on this one too sound terrible. Like they're very high and like maybe I just am having a physical reaction to the cymbals on this that sort of turns me off to it. Additionally, they add some clap sounds that are unnecessary.
And you love some. You always love tunes with claps.
Yeah, you know me with clapping. Yeah. I do like some of the background vocals. I like "To Begin," like that. Yeah, those ones.
Little slinky lines. Yeah.
And the lyrics are actually pretty decent. If you just read the lyrics, I think it's actually one of the better songs lyrically.
Yeah.
But the tune and the chords are kind of forgettable, and it's sort of a little too basic for me. It's too long.
Yes.
They needed to cut the third verse. I think.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
But I do love how it grooves out, and I like the last bit of lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Like it ends on a sort of like really clean closing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So
I'm pretty much the same way with you on this one. I think the chorus is kind of catchy. "And lines of dominoes are falling into place, ignoring everything in their way." Pretty catchy.
Yeah.
That's okay, but I agree. It's one verse too long. And
yeah. I can imagine that maybe this is one that's going to grow on me. I know one of our listeners really loves it, thinks it's one of his best songs ever.
Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't strike me. I was surprised me when I saw that. I was like, oh, really? I didn't really even like that one. So maybe it'll grow on me, and maybe I'll end up being wrong about it. But it just, to me, the drums and
I got to check out those basic cymbals.
The basic tune of it is just sort of like, ugh, yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. To me, it's in the filler category a little bit. The next one, time for something completely different here. We are going to go south of the border, I guess, back to Brazil.
And a far, far better world. Back in Brazil, she meets a man. He's tall and handsome, and he fits in with her plan. Bright lights ahead, music and fun. Nights are for dancing, and the days are for the sun. They will steal the show.
So, are we back in Brazil? Are you in Sao Paulo right now, or little Rio de Janeiro? Yeah.
This one, you got to listen to this one a lot to make any sense of it. Kind of. It's a little odd.
Definitely, definitely. And I give him points for being creative and trying something different. People have reviewed it and said, this is just in line with Paul McCartney's love of borrowing from other cultures. And I was thinking, is that really one of his biggest traits? I could say that for Paul Simon, maybe, but I don't think of tons of tunes that are like this, but... what do you think? I don't know.
Well, I'm really torn on this one too.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, I really thought we'd actually get more of this kind of thing on the album.
Like when more experimental?
What I saw that what the theme was,
An
international kind of vibe to it, and there's Egypt on the thing, and if we got some Brazil, and then we got some You know, there was the one instrument we talked about that's sort of an international instrument.
Mm-hmm.
So I was feeling like, oh, maybe we'd get some more international sounding type songs. You know, a comp to this might be sort of a taste of Dress Me Up as a Robber.
Ooh, yeah,
it's
that's
sort
true.
Of, it's sort of got an electronic, kind of a unique electronic-y sound, but it's sort of like bringing in some Brazilian beat to
mm-hmm,
it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get this Ichiban stuff. I think the real thing is I like the execution actually of the song more than even than the idea of the song.
Ah.
Oh, let's do a Brazilian type thing. But I do like the middle sec. The middle section is really great on this one. That
right
stuff and. I kind of like the electronic-y. Usually, if you're, oh, we're doing a song about Brazil, then I want, like, Brazilian instruments and natural sounds and stuff.
Yeah, all that stuff.
And this is like, nope, we're not going to do any of that. We're doing it all electronic-y.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, there's a weird ending to it, which is, like, it's real quiet, and then it's like, pa, 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 you and I, and then when it's just over.
It's ba di da 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 you and I.
Oh well, it says pa 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 in the lyrics on the online here.
Uh oh. Okay.
Yeah, it does. Pa 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 you and I here on.
Ba di da 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 you and I.
Come on, Paul.
Come on, Paul. Yeah.
Get it right. Get your call your marketing guys
yes,
and tell them they got
fix
the wrong.
That.
They got the wrong lyrics either in the booklet or online here.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of like, it's sort of catchy and interesting, but it's sort of odd, too.
It is.
It's a weird tune.
I think I'm going to have to sit with it a little bit longer. So, I mean, we've only had this album for a couple days and been listening to it a lot. But I think it's the kind of thing, once you know, when you put it away and move on to other stuff and then you come back, we'll see how it goes. For now, it's kind of interesting. I'll give him that. I'll give him some credit for trying something different.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's on the album. I'm glad like I said, had he even put a couple more like this on the album, then I think I would have maybe felt like, oh, it's sort of like an interesting, it fits into the theme more.
The concept, right.
Some
exactly.
others do.
Mm-hmm.
So
now the next one, again, he's really going very different here. Has the title Do It Now.
Got the time, the inclination, I have answered your invitation. I'll be leaving in the morning, watch me go. I don't know where the wind is blowing, got directions to where I'm going, nothing certain. That's the only thing I know. Do it now, do it now, while the vision is clear. Do it now, while the feeling is here. If you leave it too late,
all do right. it now, Dave. What do you think?
Do it now. Well, again, we've got the theme of looking back on your life, trying to make the most of it, of the time you have, the eternal message of tell people that you love them now, because it could all, the lyric is, if you leave it too late, it could all disappear. Do it now while your vision is clear. To me, it's nice sentiment, a little bit generic. A little forgettable. It's okay. I've nice tune, but doesn't stand out much to me.
I probably like it slightly more than you do. I like the do 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 vocal harmonies.
Yeah,
I thought those were pretty interesting and cool. There is something about the song though. The whole, like most of the song, sounds like a song that's about to start. quite started yet. And it does the drum when the drums come in on the second chorus, 2 minutes into the song, by the way.
Yeah.
Then it sounds like it's started, and from that point to the end of the song, I think it works. And there's an orchestra at the end, and it swells, and it sort of builds up and swells, and then it all drops out, and you get some more of those doo doo doos. So I kind of like all of that. I kind of the music stuff. Maybe I would have had the drums come in earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just has this sort of like unsettled feeling, like it hasn't started yet.
Yeah, yeah. I'll have to listen to it that way. Well, maybe
I definitely like the sentiment, though.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Maybe he's trying to do some word painting here, because the uncertainty says, "I don't know where the wind is blowing. Got directions to where I'm going. Nothing's certain. That's the only thing I know." So maybe he is kind of...
Oh, maybe... Yeah. Plus, maybe the drums coming in is like, yeah, we're going to do it now.
Yes, the certainty. Exactly. Maybe, okay. Yeah. That could work.
Well, maybe I'm... Maybe we're both going to like this better.
Yeah, I think we're on to something here. I think we got it.
After we hear our commentary, we're going to listen to it and appreciate it.
Exactly. that's a plan.
Now this is the thing I've been waiting the most to hear what you have to say about.
Okay.
And that is the song, the titled song, titled for some reason Caesar Rock.
So, Caesar Rock, or if you look at the lyrics, she's a rock, and...
Yeah, the lyrics here say Caesar Rock, of course.
Know. They do? Oh, she's a rock in the... Yeah. Does this get the vote for worst mishearing or worst pun, or most confusing pun?
I mean, why... Even his explanation on the words between the songs... doesn't make any sense. It's sort of like, oh, well, we were singing it, and it was definitely She's a Rock, which makes perfect sense. And if they just called it She's a Rock, it would have been good, I think. But then they're like, then they started joking around. Mm-hmm. It's basically like an inside joke.
Yeah.
You know, basically... Yeah. We named it an inside joke that we had. Enjoy it. Mm-hmm. You know, is what they're saying. But the She's a Rock, Caesar Rock thing aside, once again, it's a very odd song. I kind of like the high-pitched first, like, She's a Rock kind of stuff. But after that, I like it much less. Especially the call and response. She's a Rock! Yeah! She's a Rock! Yeah!
It kind of loses its fire pretty quickly.
Dave, how would you describe the voice he's doing in the main part of this, where he's like, "If I could find the word to think woman!
Is it Shades of Screamin' Paul? Kind of going back to his Screamin' Paul days here? Is he? It's about the most rockin' he gets on the album with his voice. I don't know. Is it? He's trying to do a little Bruce Springsteen or a little something like that on here. Yeah.
Some of the music in it I like, though, and it's interesting. Yeah. But generally, I think more than any other song on this whole album, Caesar Rock is kind of a mess.
Yeah.
It's sort of like starts in one. It starts with a beat, and then before even the Caesar Rock high-pitched vocal part, it's changed feel.
Right, right.
Changed keys, changed feel.
Yeah, very abruptly. Yeah.
It's very abrupt, like sort of herky-jerky. So I'm interested in it in a way, and another way I'm repulsed by it. So, I'm overstating how much I don't like it, but generally I'm like confused by it.
Yeah. Yeah, I could take it or leave it, probably. It's not nice to hear Paul screaming. I was going to say his voice on this album. We all know, and we've talked about it, the elephant in the room is Paul's voice has not aged well recently, particularly. And we talked about it many times with his live performances as well as on New. And I want to say on this album, I think they've done something to darken his voice with reverb or something, where I actually think he's picking the right keys for tunes or something. It works better, and I don't think the deterioration is quite as prevalent on this album.
You know, one thing that also strikes me is that live, particularly on songs like Can't Buy Me Love and a few of those, where he's singing with the guys on stage, the dichotomy of his voice and the way it sounds now and theirs is very like creates a dissonance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so he sounds worse in the
ensemble. Aggregate. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But on these the studio albums, you can manipulate it mm-hmm. a little bit, and you can put him as the background vocals instead of the other guys. So I think he at this point sounds a lot better on the albums than he does live.
Yes, I agree.
Whereas that might not have been the case earlier in his career, but at this point, that's definitely the case.
Yeah, and so you can really hear the different styles on the. We'll treat these last two since they're both medleys, and then in between we have another little Station 2 interlude. But the last two big tracks are big medleys, and we've talked about medleys. You and I have disagreed in the past about, for example, Uncle Albert, Admiral Halsey, as a kind of a medley of taking fragment tunes, putting them together. We all love the Abbey Road medley, of course. But this one, the first one here, is Despite Repeated Warnings, and it's about 7 minutes, if I remember correctly, pretty long, with different sections. And we can play it just the beginning of it. It's too long, obviously, to play. So we'll just hear the beginning, which comes back at the end. So it'll give you a sense of how it goes.
Despite repeated warnings of dangers up ahead, the captain won't be listening to what's being said. He feels that there's a good chance that we have been misled. So the captain's planning to steer ahead. What can we do? What can we do? What can we do to stop this foolish plan going through? What can we do? What can we do?
epic to some extent, really similar to Admiral Halsey, Dave. So there's been no song on this whole album that I've been waiting to hear what you have to say about more than this.
We've got a maritime feel here, another maritime theme here, like Admiral Halsey.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I've listened to it a lot, and the middle section, which we didn't play, and you can hear, it goes into a very fast, upbeat song fragment where it's really just back and forth, yes, we can do it now, and trying to overcome the message in the first part. And there's been different theories about the lyrics here, if it's about the current situation in the United States with the president, or is it about Brexit, or, mm-hmm. you know, it's got obviously some political message going on, and it's basically about a captain who's kind of dumb and just trudges forward and doesn't listen to anybody and ignores the warnings. I'm really mixed on this one. I feel like it's there's some good spots, and it's an interesting production. I saw a quote, I think it was from Greg Kot of the Chicago Tribune, who said it was unnecessarily fussy in the arrangements, and that's mm-hmm. that line stuck with me. Like, it's just a little too much, a little too overdone to me.
What you said about it possibly being about maybe Trump, maybe Brexit.
Mm-hmm.
Paul says he got the idea, and that the song is a metaphor for global warming,
mm-hmm.
and ignoring global warming. And even though you know that you've got all these bad signs, your leaders are leading you, ignoring the crew,
right,
which is us, and leading you straight into the icebergs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So as far as the metaphor for it, at least it, compared to more smooths or Admiral Halsey or his other nautical metaphors he's had in the past, I think it totally works a lot better.
Yeah, that's true.
Because there is an actual metaphor here, and the story makes sense lyrically.
Yes, definitely.
Following it. So that's why I like that. Mm-hmm. I love the drums at the beginning of this. Mm-hmm. Once again, Abe or whoever it is playing drums. We're not sure if it's Abe or maybe Paul. What you called the middle part is actually the third part, the yes, we can do it. Now,
yeah.
There's this middle sort of whimsical, how do we stop him? Do we lock him up part? And I like that. I felt it like added sort of a fun, whimsical, like, oh dear, we're in this mess. What do we do? Almost like a play or something, like a musical, like mm-hmm. feel to it. Mm-hmm. So I liked it. And then the third part that you mentioned, the yes, we can do it now.
Yeah.
Even though it's sort of like not that brilliant lyrically. It's got lively horn parts,
and
good energy to it, and it really took me straight back to Wings, sort
yes,
of like
very Wings.
Yeah. So, I to me it's a thumbs up.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't think it's bad. I just I don't know. Is it? Do you sit down and listen to 7-minute tunes with different parts very often, or do you think Paul meant this to, because it's interesting because it's followed by another song almost equally as long, and to end your album that way is kind of interesting.
Well, yeah, I was surprised, to be honest, but when I actually saw what the actual running order was, and then I saw a 7-minute song and a six minute, two seconds, 20 second song. And that is, and well, let's play the first part of it and we'll go out with the last part
sure.
of this next little 3-part section medley, kind of just like we just heard a 3-section medley.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is after, you know, and it starts with the station 2, of course.
Yeah.
Which we don't need to talk about. But this is Hunt You Down, Naked, and Sea Link.
We'll be right back.
kind of a rocker. They described that on the thing.
What do you make of this medley
and the placement of it as the closer?
This one is much more abrupt than the previous one, which did the despite repeated warnings, like you said, had a pretty coherent theme all the way through. This one is three songs jammed together. Well, the last one's not even a song. It's just kind of a jam over a C chord. But it's Hunt You Down, which I like a lot. I think that's the most rocking riff on the album. Very cool rocking. Like, I don't know what it sounds like. I can't think of... It's just like great rock kind of tune. He sounds good. And it's just a love song. And then it switches very abruptly to the middle part, which is Naked. And he's talking about how he's been naked since he was born. And
I've been
I've been taken for my younger brother. Like a basket, life's a basket, but I have no other. And it's kind of like, I'm trying to sleep, but I've been naked ever since I was born. And some have said that's referring to Paul being a famous Beatle, and he's his whole life's been open basically since he's been famous since he was in his early 20s. And then it goes into this sudden jam that we're going to go out with called Sea Link. Not Sea Moon, but Sea Link. which is what when I heard the description, he said it's a chance. He just gets a thrill from plugging in an electric guitar and turning up the amp and just jamming. And he sounds great. I mean, it's good playing, but it just kind of ends the album that way. So...
It's really odd to end on something called Ceiling.
Yeah.
Like, what are you linking to? Your next album?
Right. Just kind of fades. So maybe the fact that they're really jarring is a good thing. Like, it kind of keeps you excited and keeps you interested. But I don't know. I'm trying to think which one I like better. I like the music of this one better, I think, than Despite Repeated Warnings. How about you?
I thought it was strange that they did Despite Repeated Warnings and then this tune like once later, but for some reason it all works for me. This really reminds me of like a either a Wings specific song with different sections or like when it was what's the Pound Is Sinking.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, with the
it
different
has
parts.
Like it has the Something That Never Happened in it.
Yeah.
That's really like, what? That's completely unrelated. Doesn't really fit. There's a few songs in his history where it's like Naked, I think he like, oh, I like this little song I wrote, but I don't have much more than this. So to put it in between a couple things, I think works.
Yeah.
I like all three sections. I like the Naked section. That's got that different key signature and feel to it. And I like this. I like the C section. Paul just sort of rocking out over a drone. We're gonna hear it here in a minute.
Yeah,
almost kind of like a Pink Floyd or
very kind of like slow trance kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then towards the end, he starts to play a lick, and then all of a sudden strings come in.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, how'd they do that?
How'd they do that? It's a great production. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's lots to take in this song. And it's stuff, even the Hunt You Down section's got these weird little things going on in the background. There's a bop, 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 bop.
With the horns,
Yeah, with the horns and some of the doing, doing. There's like a doing, doing sound in there.
Yeah.
I'd like to see them try to play this live. Of course they won't.
No, they won't.
And play like two songs from the album live, but... I'd love to hear him play this one live.
Yeah, I think it would take some definite rehearsal because this feels like a real studio production. Like they recorded each part. It was never played live. It was all synced, linked, you know, kind of sequenced together somehow from different parts because of the abrupt changes. But it would be really neat to hear it live. And I don't know. I don't know which... I probably like this one a little better than Despite Repeated Warnings, but... it's cool. And somebody wrote on our Facebook page, they said it reminded them of like McCartney, like an instrumental McCartney from the first album. And I can see that, the C-Link part, very much like him just jamming by himself.
Kind of thing.
until the horns or until the strings come in. But yeah, pretty cool tune, and nice way to end it. So
now you yes. It didn't end your album.
No,
though,
it did
right?
not. No. So if you continue on, if you go to get the Target album, there is a song called "Get Started," which also has different parts.
Alexa, when does Target close? Yeah.
You better get over there.
Okay, 11 p.m.
Okay, 11 p.m.
Alexa said 11 p.m., so
you've
I
got
can,
time.
I can...
You've got time to run over. Yeah. It's like the first part of it's very sunny, very catchy, poppy tune. So let's get started. I'm ready to be heard before the dear departed can have the final word. I love the first part of it, and then it just stops, and you think the song's over, and it comes back with "Get Started," but it's in a very distorted, rocking sound that to me is I don't like the ending very much. And then the second tune is called "Nothing for Free," and that's a Ryan Tedder production that did make it on the
of Fu fame.
Yes, of Fu fame. Yes, exactly. And this one works better than Fu to me. It's pretty good. I rocking and got a good groove. And it has a fun line, "My brain stopped working today," that he keeps repeating, which I like that line because I think we all feel that way sometimes. Yeah. So I like
that. So maybe what he should have done is release the two Ryan Tedder things together as a single, and then announced, guess what? We also got a new album coming out.
That would have been smart.
And then not add those songs on there because they don't. This one's a bonus track, and you're saying it's even better than "Fu You."
Yeah, I like it a lot. Yeah, so go figure. But
yeah.
So I guess as we wrap this up today, it's a lot to process, a lot to unpack. I'm curious how you rank this one in relative to new, as well as maybe kind of overall.
On my very first listen, I thought that maybe it wasn't as good as new. New really excited me when it came out. I was like, "Oh, he's still got the goods." And then on a first listen, I sort of was like, "I don't know if some of these work for me." On subsequent listens, I've been finding more in there. I think it's an album full of some interesting music, maybe sloppy in parts, maybe there's too much album overall. It could be a couple songs shorter and maybe a little clearer in some areas about what the intentions are, but I like it. Maybe I'm going 7 with it, somewhere in there. And it's been getting decent reviews overall. We'll talk about the reviews here in a minute, so I'm there. The standouts to me are definitely, if I had to say the top tunes, "Come On to Me" is definitely there, up there for me. Really like "Hand in Hand," really like "Hunt You Down, Naked Sea Link," despite repeated warnings. And I probably like "Do It Now" a little bit better than you do.
Yeah.
So that's probably my top sort of 5 or 5, and "Fu You" kind of.
Yeah, just for its sheer catchy factor and.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
What about you, Dave? Where are you on it?
So I also was thinking about it in relation to new. I think it's better than new in a lot of ways. I think maybe the single producer for the most part kind of helps tie things together, and it's just a little more focused to me. But like that one, this one, I had the same experience. In fact, we texted on the day it came out, and I wrote you, "So what are your first thoughts?" And you said, "Kind of meh on the first listen." And that's how I was. But then as I listened to it more and more, things are revealed, and it becomes a lot more interesting. So I'd on a 5 stars or scale of 10, I'd give it probably a 7, something like that. And some filler, of course, like every McCartney album has some filler, but some really good tunes. So one of my favorites was "I Don't Know," I like Happy With You, Hand in Hand, and then both medleys are impressive. I'll put it that way. I probably like the second one better, Hunt You Down, Naked Sea Link. And the bonus tracks are both pretty good, too. So I'm pretty...
Oh, I got to get those
Yeah, you got to get to Target tonight.
What have I been doing?
Yeah.
I got to get over to Target.
I know.
You know, I forgot to mention Happy With You and mine. I like that one, too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
So more good than bad in it, for sure.
Definitely.
I do think you're right. It does. It's like theme better, and it does. It holds together better.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as sloppily all over the place as New, but I kind of liked the energy of New too.
Yeah.
So
like you were saying, though, I think a lot of people are giving it very good reviews. I was looking, as you often do too. I know the.
Well, there's Metacritic.
Yeah, Metacritic. Yeah,
and Metacritic, the score, and this is based on 16 critics. Right now is 76, and that's not too bad.
Yeah.
That's pretty. That's in the. If you see something in the green, then that means go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely in the green. A couple little quick hitters for here. Quotes. You go to these newspapers if you want the full review. The Telegraph says, "It is the sound of an old rocker at full steam ahead, determined to keep on rolling for as long as he can." Chicago Tribune says the vulnerability is one of the album's most endearing features.
Mm.
It skirts the great man stares into the abyss of mortality melodrama that has become a late career album cliche for many of McCartney's peers.
That's
pretty good. And then one bad review. This is from the AV Club. It says, this is very much a Paul McCartney solo album. The uneven product of compulsive songwriting that includes several delightful songs, several terrible ones, and a lot in between.
Yeah.
So they didn't like it as much.
Yeah.
DIY Magazine saying, back in Brazil is a bit baffling. Caesar Rock doesn't hit the quite the right notes. People want peace feels a bit trite.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of what we said on those.
Yeah.
But American Songwriter, for the most part, is an album that constantly projects joy and musical adventurousness,
mm-hmm.
qualities which have signified this career for more than half a century.
Yeah.
So that's a good closer because I do think, in the aggregate, it's a thumbs up for me.
Absolutely. And the disappointing thing I know will be that he won't perform very many of these songs at the Grand Central Station. He only performed Come On To Me, Fu You, and the one with the Who Cares, the Bully song, which had, like, as I mentioned, a staged intro. But yeah, we won't get to hear any of these probably. It'll just be, hey, let's hear Can't Buy Me Love again. And anyone want to hear I Saw Her Standing There?
a few years ago, I got a ticket that was a little bit of a cheaper ticket. It was like $20. And I went and I saw a band I liked, Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros. And all they played was their new album.
Wow.
They were like, we're not going to play our old stuff. We're here tonight to play our new album. If you we're in New York and you're like, hey, you're going to get to see Paul McCartney at Grand Central Station. And he showed up and he started and he's like, come on, we're going to start playing our new album straight through.
Yeah.
Everybody be like, woo. And then he just plays his new album for us and we all enjoy it and love it. And we're like, man, can you believe how good the new album was?
Yeah.
And then he ends with, like, we really love you, we really love you, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It would work, but instead, why he does this where he can't, I think it's what it actually hurts his solo career
mm-hmm.
to continuously kind of release new albums and tell everybody there's only three good songs on the new album.
Yeah, it's kind of what he's doing. Yeah.
Is basically what he's doing, and it bothers me.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't.
It's not
but
fair.
And yeah. Part of it's that we're never going to get a, Happy With You, potentially,
mm-hmm.
live version.
No.
So, and as a fan, I want to hear all these songs.
Yeah.
Other bands that have been around for a long time, Pearl Jam plays a weird, different, completely different set every night.
Mm-hmm.
So and especially on a specialty concert like this that didn't have your usual
tour stuff and
stuff, bells and whistles and fireworks during Live and Let Die and all that. Just it was a great opportunity for him to sing these newer songs, and he kind of blew it as far as I'm concerned. That said, the album's pretty great. Mm-hmm. I'm glad it's out. I'm happy he's on tour.
So we both give it a positive review, and I think you and I will be both be listening to it a lot.
And we'll be rocking out to the end of this.
Yes, little C-Link to close off our show. So we did hear some news that with this coming out and with the White Album perspective set, that I saw two news reports saying that the Red Rose Speedway Wildlife reissue will be put on hold for the near future. So,
What are we going to do for album reviews? I guess we'll have to album review the incredibly surprising and thrilling news of the Imagine.
Yes, actually, that's very exciting. Yeah,
And the price points are good on it too. I mean, you could get this package for like $120.
Yeah,
that gives you posters and all kinds of stuff,
a book and everything. Yeah,
book and the movie and all the kind of stuff coming out. So we're gonna have a lot of John Lennon to talk about.
Yes,
in the upcoming months, and that is great.
I think so, and I think you and I both are gonna be splurging for that one because we're excited for sure that's coming out, and should be a good fall here. So we're looking forward to lots of good Beatles stuff. And
all right,
go out and go to Target now. Go get your copy of Egypt Station with the extra tracks. And in the meantime, we'll you can check out our Facebook page, Twitter, email us, and we'll be going out with the end of the medley, end of the album proper here, with Hunt You Down Naked, and we'll play you C-Link.